Mornings, I'm Chris Oaks, and coming up today, Hancock County Commissioner Tim Bechtel talks about the opening of the new $21 million Allen H. Davis Judicial Center. Also this morning, beware of romance scams. Even though Valentine's Day is past, many con artists don't send up warning signs right away. They're in it for the long game, so you should be too. Could you use a getaway right about now? This is what's known as wave season for cruise lines. It's an industry that has seen a remarkable turnaround from the uncertainty of the pandemic. And happening around town, it's that time again. The Christian Clearinghouse Garage Sale fundraiser is coming up soon. Tammy Stahl will give us all the details. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. Good to be back. As you mentioned, a long President's Day / Valentine's Day weekend. And I have to apologize. I was actually in Florida over the long weekend. That's why I took a little extra time off. Was in Florida over the weekend. And back in January, the last time I went to Florida for a weekend, I came back to what was then the coldest week of the year. And now, once again, I have come back to the coldest week of the year, you know? So, apparently this is my fault that it is so daggone cold this week. It's all my fault. I promise, though, that is the last time that I'm going to Florida for a while. So, I'm doing what I can to make up for it. I promise I will not go Florida again. So this is the story. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Again, research out of Concordia University has found that human beings may be hardwired to dance, even if we dislike the music. There's a recent study that finds even those with musical anhedonia, I don't know how you pronounce this. Anyway, it's a condition where people actually don't enjoy music, and I can't imagine not enjoying music. But even if you don't enjoy music, the type of music that's being played, or any music at all, those people still feel the urge to dance when they hear a beat. According to the lead author of the study from Concordia University, Isaac Rumke, for those with this condition, they still derive pleasure from the urge to move. More generally, the study suggests that the urge to move may itself be what generates pleasure, not so much listening to the music. It's the moving to the music. So anyway, long and short of it is, the desire to dance is more fundamental to human beings than is actually enjoying music itself. Like I said, I can't imagine not liking music, but even if you don't like the music, we like to and we need to dance. Now, that's a philosophy that we can live by on this Wednesday morning, so there you go. A couple of other items here among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. How's this for irony? KFC is moving its headquarters out of Kentucky. The chain, formerly known as Kentucky Fried Chicken, they changed to KFC because of the negative connotations with the word fried. You know, people not liking fried food, trying to eat healthier. Years ago, they changed from Kentucky Fried Chicken to just KFC. They won't be able to go back to Kentucky Fried Chicken because they're not going to be in Kentucky anymore. The team that runs the global operations of the chain is already based in Plano, Texas, in the Lone Star State. Now the owner of KFC, Yum Brands, says the domestic team will join them there. So the entire headquarters of the iconic Kentucky Fried Chicken chain are no longer in Kentucky. Despite the change, though, KFC insists that they still plan to maintain corporate offices in Louisville, just not the headquarters of the company. So, that is a bit ironic, isn't it? And a little odd is just one of the weird things about corporate America. Speaking of weird things and mildly ironic, Sometimes it appears that the Department of Government Efficiency has not necessarily been so efficient. Now, I think we all can agree that it is long past time, it is long overdue for the government to take a top-to-bottom look at all of its spending and try and eliminate overspending. Fraud, waste, abuse. How much fraud there is a matter of debate, but there is certainly got to be a lot of waste, right? So it's about time that they go top to bottom and eliminate all of this waste. But, I mean, government's big operation, and sometimes you go a little too far and cut in the wrong places. The U.S. Department of Agriculture apparently accidentally fired several agency employees who were working on the government's response to the bird flu. You know, that's made eggs like $10 a dozen now, and caused egg shortages around the country. Yeah, they were working on the bird flu, and on Tuesday, a spokesperson for the USDA announced that they were working to swiftly rectify the situation and rescind those terminations. It comes just a few days after what a bunch of nuclear scientists were fired. And then later they realize that, hey, these are the guys who keep our nuclear weapons safe and make sure that the nukes don't accidentally go off or something like that. So we need those people back. The USDA adds that the department continues to prioritize the response to the highly pathogenic avian influenza. So don't worry. We're still working on it. We're bringing those people back. So, I mean, I agree, and I think most of us will with the idea, but maybe be a little careful about who you're firing there. And by the way, speaking of cutbacks in the federal government, Yosemite National Park has now announced that it will delay the sale of summer reservations for its popular campsites, its campgrounds. In a post on social media Friday, the park said the delay impacts five campgrounds, the Upper Pines, Lower Pines, North Pines, Wawona, and Hodgdon Meadow campgrounds at Yosemite National Park. Very, very popular. Yosemite is like, I think after the Grand Canyon, the most visited national park that we have in this country. And the delay will affect impact reservations from the middle of June to the middle of July, which is the peak travel season. Visitors trying to plan camping trips can check the website of the park and their social media feeds for updates, but they don't know exactly when they'll be able to accept reservations. Now, the National Park Service did not specifically say what the reason was for the delay in taking the summer campsite reservations, but the announcement comes on the heels of the Trump administration implementing federal hiring freezes and terminating thousands of U.S. Forest Service workers, which are responsible for, being able to maintain the campgrounds and, security and all of that. And given that there is a hiring freeze, there are seasonal employees that they hire to take care of guests in the peak tourism times, and now they're not able to make those hires, and so that's impacting it as well. They didn't say that specifically, but that's kind of the understanding there. So if you're planning a summer trip to a national park, like I said, this is specifically Yosemite, but maybe other national parks might be in similar situations. I'm not sure, but it might be a little difficult. Again, we can all agree with the sentiment. We can all agree with the goal. But sometimes, like anything with government, the devil is in the details, right? So just a little bit of patience, maybe. I don't know that the world is ending necessarily, but we all will have to be a little bit patient with these little glitches as the process plays itself out. And how about this? This may be the most important news that you hear this morning, and yet it comes from the file of duh. Like, we really need research to tell us this, but a new study out of the University of Alberta in Canada has found that unplugging from the internet could be just as beneficial as therapy. You don't need to go to a therapist. You need to unplug from the internet. And it can also help reverse 10 years of cognitive decline. This is how much the internet is ruining our brains, turning our brain to mush. Reversing 10 years of cognitive decline. Researchers asked 467 iPhone users to install an app that blocked mobile internet while allowing calls and texts. There is an app for that. You know, block your internet access, but it'll allow you still to receive calls and texts. And after just 2 weeks, the participants in the study felt happier and more satisfied with their lives, universally. They also performed better on attention tests. For those who experienced FOMO, or the fear of missing out, disconnecting resulted in improvements in their anxiety levels. So again, from the file of duh, did we really need a scientific study to tell us that disconnecting from the internet might be beneficial to our mental health? And in apparently even in our mental acuity? Probably not, but it's good to have that validation nonetheless. So maybe that would be the best thing you can do today. Disconnect from the internet and spend more time listening to the radio. How about that? Just a suggestion, but I think it's a good one. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly cloudy today with a high in the upper teens and wind chill values around zero. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the teens. The Drug Enforcement Agency has issued a warning about xylazine, a drug often mixed with fentanyl. That's a growing problem in Ohio and across the country.
Brian Mulcahy is the special agent in charge at the Columbus District Office for the DEA. He says over the years, the drug trade has changed and gotten worse.
The synthetic drugs have really changed the game, and it's just made the drug trade that much more deadly because people don't know what they're ingesting.
Mulcahy says xylazine is an animal tranquilizer. What makes it so dangerous? It's resistant to Narcan.
ONN's Tara Jabor reporting. Findlay City Schools says it's proud of its long-standing Big Shake tradition.
This is really about making a great first impression. They've been instructed to focus on eye contact, conversation skills, and overall presentation.
After many years at Bigelow Hill, the school district celebrated last year as the first year that every Findlay City Schools intermediate building participated in the program. There are several rounds to the Big Shake program. The first is a rapid-fire handshake and conversation, and each subsequent round becomes more difficult and involved. The winning student at each building receives a $1,000 scholarship from Chick-fil-A. Learn more about the Big Shake program and how it benefits students in this story on our website. The University of Findlay will host International Mother Language Day on Thursday. The event is free and open to the public and is scheduled from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the atrium of the Center for Student Life and College of Business building. UF says the event will showcase the rich linguistic and cultural diversity on its campus as students will present songs, poems, and dances representing various languages and traditions. The university adding that without a safe and welcoming community, people may feel compelled to hide their languages and cultures. Learn more about the University of Findlay's International Mother Language Day in this story on our website. Get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
And now our cover story this morning, pretty exciting stuff. Hancock County Commissioner Tim Bechtel is with us this morning to talk about the opening of the new $21 million Allen H. Davis Judicial Center. Gem of a facility just opening up in downtown Findlay within the past few days. Nearly $21 million, price tag not quite at $21
million. Right? Well, I'm going to pop your balloon here, Chris, and give you some actually good news to start off the talk. when you do a design build project like this, you set aside allowances for unforeseen circumstances in the budget.
Right.
If you don't spend those during the course of construction, you get to take that off of the price at the end.
Yeah.
We're looking at, we don't have the final price established yet because of all some final things we need to finish up on the building.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at finishing this off at less than $20 million.
Under 20 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Under 20 million. So that makes my first question even easier to answer, I guess. And that is, was it worth it? I mean, did the Hancock County taxpayers get their money's worth?
Oh, yes, absolutely. This building will last for a long time, or certainly longer than our lives. And it brings so many services together under one roof.
Yeah.
And that's what we've done before in the past with the vehicle service center and the ag service center, you know, bringing multiple agencies that are related together to help the people,
so
one-stop shop.
Using that kind of as a template, obviously this has been a long time in coming. It was a long time in planning. It was for many years cussed and discussed, you know, what would happen. And there will be those who will say, you know, for all of the months and years that we spent talking about this, we could have done this many years ago, maybe. But I wonder, were it not for all of the pain of that and going through all of these other options, could you really have come up with what we have now without going through all of that process?
No, it wouldn't have been the same. Mm-hmm. And it probably wouldn't have been as good. Mm-hmm. So we're very happy with the end result. And, you know, it's once you get down to the final move in, it's very much like giving birth to a child. So bear with us, and we're getting everybody settled. And
what is in the new judicial center? I mean, clearly the probate juvenile court, that's kind of what started this whole thing. So you've got that. But what else?
Well, there's three floors. The public will come in, just like the staff on the first floor. Mm-hmm. And there's a security entrance right there in the middle of the building, under all that glass central space.
Mm-hmm.
So that has, staffed by the sheriff's department. And then you'll proceed one of two different ways. The rest of the first floor is all adult probation offices. So those folks that will be meeting with those officers will go off to the right into their own separate lobby there on the first floor. Everyone else will proceed upstairs. If you want to take the stairs, you can. There's also a public elevator. On the second floor, you can check in with the probate and juvenile court clerks right there outside of the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have the juvenile probation officers on the second floor and also the domestic relations court. Which we brought over from the first floor of the courthouse. That was in a space in the first floor of the courthouse that at one time had the county commissioners in that location before they were there. So now they're in the new building.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the third floor is the main courtroom with Judge Johnson, and also two magistrates' courtroom or hearing rooms for the probate and juvenile court. And then also the CASA offices. That's the court-appointed special advocates.
Right.
And the Family and Children's First Council offices, and also the Great Lakes Guardianship Service Board, which is headquartered here in Hancock County, but it serves all of Hancock County, Wood County, and Ottawa County.
Yeah. Obviously, you are an architect by trade.
Yep.
So talk a little bit about that layout and that design of what goes where within the building, and you know, that's very intentional in the design and the way it was laid out the way it was.
Well, it's ironic that we're sitting across the street from the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts, because this building, like the Marathon Center, has a great deal of public front office space that the public will be able to use. And then there's backstage space that is only going to be for the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a fairly clean demarcation line there of what the public is going to be accessing and what the staff is going to be using to service all the other folks using the building.
So very efficient in that.
Oh, yeah. And it also, because this building is fairly large, the footprint is similar in size to the historic courthouse on the ground.
Yeah.
But once we get inside, because of it, it's modern construction. It doesn't have all the thick stone walls. We actually get more space out of the interior because the walls aren't as thick with the more modern insulation.
That's interesting. So when you drive by and you look at that building, you look at the courthouse, and you say there's actually more usable space
there is, in this new building.
In this new building. And the key features, what are some of the key features? What are some of the things that you can do in this facility that weren't possible in the previous locations where all of these offices were?
It's tough to pinpoint anything down.
The first one that immediately popped into my mind in terms of key features, I would imagine, you know, obviously new constructions are built, you know, for modern technology, like internet access and all of that has got to be much easier, you know, in a new build versus some of these older locations, just as an example. But are there others that...
I think maybe just the synergy of all the different services that are involved in this building. You know, we're moving adult probation from the back side of our administrative building down there by Scramblers. So that brings that whole group of people into this mix.
Right. So more efficient in that.
Yeah, it's a lot more efficient for people.
Is everyone in now? Or
everyone is now in. I don't know if they got all their boxes unpacked yet.
Anyone who's ever moved from one home to another knows
they're effectively functioning. but give them some time to find their way around and make sure they know where everything's at. And we're very excited about the Hancock leadership class helping us out here in the spring. Mm-hmm. Once the weather breaks, it's not going to happen today with all the ice, but they're going to be helping us with the final landscaping around the building. And then we'll have an open house and ribbon cutting after that.
We'll look forward to that. This is not, though, a full one-stop shop for county government.
No, this is to pick up a lot of the services that were scattered after the after the flood of 07, actually.
Was there some discussion of including like space for the commissioners, that kind of thing?
And no, we're happy where we're at. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have our offices on the second floor of 514 South Main, and so are the county prosecutors.
Right.
And then we have a great deal of record storage in that building as well.
So will there be any other movement of offices into spaces that have been vacated now by the various entities that are now in the new judicial center?
Absolutely.
So there's a snowball effect.
We're still trying to sort out who's going to fit best where. Mm-hmm. But obviously the old church with the green roof has some historic value there. And I should say in that building, there had been a number of additions put on it over the past 100 years. Those are really the problem areas. When you get back down to the core structure that's got the green roof on it, that's actually the best part of the building, and that's the original part of the building.
Yeah. Well, and that's really the next question. I mean, this whole matter is not necessarily done yet, because then the question becomes, and this has been discussed as well for quite a few months as the judicial center was under construction, what happens to that old space?
Well, first and foremost, we're going to make sure that we have some public parking there on the north side. There's been some limited public parking, but we're going to try to expand that for people using both buildings, both the historic courthouse and this new Davis Judicial Center. Mm-hmm. The interior of that building, we have to go through and size up what we have after they've moved out and see what needs to be kept and what needs to go. Mm-hmm. We have our maintenance department in the backside of that building as well, so we got to make sure that we have adequate space for them, because they're very important to all the functions of all of our buildings downtown. Right. But you know, we have a great deal of need for additional records retention. We also have our public defenders who are in rental space since the Great Flood. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for any viable options there to reuse that space as best as possible.
Okay. So stay tuned, because there are still questions to be answered with respect to this, but good to have the new facility open and have that completed. And like we said, it is a jewel downtown.
Thank you so much. It's been our pleasure, and all credit goes to our design build team with RCM Architects and ACI Alveda Construction.
Again, Hancock County Commissioner Tim Bechtel with us this morning. Commissioner, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, it's something you'd hope would not happen to anyone, and most of us probably think we're smart enough not to be taken in, but every year, lots of people who think that way do in fact fall victim to romance scams. And coming off of Valentine's Day, we are joined this morning by Denise Leinhard, General Manager of Zelle. Denise, what are the numbers? Kind of put this in perspective for us.
Absolutely. So in terms of romance scams, unfortunately, there's thousands of Americans that fall prey to romance scams and other scams every single year.
And how do they typically work? What are the trends that you're seeing? What are the warning signs that should clue us in that something is not on the up and up here?
Yeah. So what we see as we spend more and more time online, whether that be on social media or dating apps or online marketplaces, the scammers are following us there. So scammers will reach out, whether it be through email, through text, or even a spoofed phone call, and they'll try to start to form a relationship. And what will happen is they might actually give you a fake identity, or they might send you pictures of beautiful people, and it may all feel a little bit too good to be true. And usually when it's a little bit too good to be true, it is.
Yeah.
So if somebody is asking for you to send money before the first date, it's not true love. It's definitely a scam.
Yeah. And a lot of times, I know these things, one of the reasons why we want to talk about it after Valentine's Day, because some people maybe they, whoa, we've missed it. Valentine's Day was this past weekend. But this doesn't always happen right away. In many cases, these scam artists are playing the long game. So it may be after they've gained your trust that then they start to, you know, drop in those hints about sending money and so on and so forth. Many times this is a prolonged scam.
Yes, that is completely right. These scammers are preying on your emotions. So they may actually form these long-term relationships over email, over text, over phone calls, in order to really build that trust, in order to then go in for the kill and ask for a large amount of money.
And as a very popular payment platform where people can transfer money instantly from one person to another, what is Zelle doing to prevent and stop these scam artists?
So Zelle actually reached $1 trillion worth of payment volume last year. $1 trillion. So that's a lot of zeros. And that's a huge testament to the 151 million American consumers and small businesses that use, trust, and love Zelle. And so we feel real responsibility to provide the safest, most secure network out there. So we see millions of transactions every single second. And because we can see so many transactions, we have now built best-in-class technology to be able to identify bad actors in real time.
Is it working? Is this something that you can really, by your own admission, the numbers are staggering as to the volume of transactions you handle on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. How can you kind of pick a needle out of a haystack?
Absolutely, it is working. So in terms of our transactions, 99.95% transactions go through our network without a report of fraud or scam.
For those who fall into that other half a percent, what happens if you flag a suspicious transfer?
So when we flag the specific transfer, we actually flag the transaction, mm-hmm. And again, using all of our great technology. But if somebody does run into a problem, they should call and contact their bank that's providing the Zelle service.
By the way, Zelle is a platform that many people are familiar with through their bank. And if you are not familiar with Zelle as a payment platform, many of the banks and the credit unions using this service are local community-based banking and financial institutions. Tell us a little bit more.
Absolutely. So we partner with 2,200 banks, credit unions, and community banks across the nation. And 95% of the banks on our network are actually community banks and credit unions. And we love our credit unions and community banks. It really allows us to be able to reach more and more Americans with this service.
Again, just because we're past Valentine's Day, don't let your guard down. And we don't want to throw cold water on romance and make people think that every person that you don't know or every person that you meet is out to scam you. But again, the numbers just back it up that you really have to be on guard. That's just the reality of the world that we live in, especially with all of the connections that we make online these days. Again, Denise Lienhard is general manager of Zelle. Where do we get more information, Denise?
You can check us out at zellepay.com.
Denise, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, a few years ago, there were some real concerns about the future of the cruise business. But as it turns out, we needn't have worried. While it is true that the pandemic really hit this industry harder than maybe any other sector, 2025 is expected to be the third straight year of record passenger volume. And in fact, the cruise industry has rebounded post-pandemic even more strongly than other travel segments, with demand growth exceeding even hotel demand growth over the last 2 years. Travel industry expert Steve O'Dell of Regent Seven Seas Cruises is with us this morning. And Steve, I know right now is the time of year you call wave season, with some great deals and special offers. And I want to talk more about that, because I know a lot of people would probably love to be on a relaxing cruise right about now. But I have to ask, I mean, what is behind this resurgence, such a strong recovery of an industry that, again, many were maybe writing off in the wake of COVID?
Yeah, I mean, the industry stopped for almost 20 months, and now it's back on record levels this year. I think around 37 million people will take a cruise globally, and
wow,
that's projected to increase to 40 million within the next 2 years. So yes, the industry recovered faster and stronger, and there's such a lot of future investment coming as well with new ships over the next few years. So yeah, it's an industry that's thriving. I think it's thriving because it represents incredible value for money, and we can take people around the world in extreme comfort and style. And it's an unpack once experience where people can just relax and enjoy and enjoy the services of these ships and what they have to offer.
And how exciting is it to see such strong demand, especially the number of people who are cruising for the first time, maybe taking that long delayed bucket list vacation?
Yeah, it's true. I think the word of mouth is a very important factor in this business, but I think people are realizing more and more that value for money is what this is all about. And, you know, this is the best time of year to find the deals.
Yeah.
You referred to wave season already. This is the time when the cruise lines during January and February put forth their best offers. That could be savings. It could be room upgrades. It could be value-added offers. But it's the best time to plan for peak travel season. I mean, we are... it tends to be some decisions around late booking to get best deals, but absolutely not. The best deals are now, and it's important to plan ahead. 2025 has offers all through the year, but we're even able to put offers out into 2026 and 2027
Wow.
for those people that plan further ahead.
So, and that's what I was going to ask. Talk a little bit about what travelers can expect in this wave season, as you said, and some of the tips for getting the best value, those upgrades, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, my best advice is to look around at the offers that are available. You can do that online, or you can talk to your travel professional, but there are a lot of great deals around. For example, Regent at the moment has an offer called Upgrade Your Horizon, which gives on global destinations a two-room upgrade and a 20% saving. And it goes across a lot of destinations. There's a lot to choose from. The value of the upgrade is about getting bigger and better accommodation. So it's a really, really good way to look at it. It isn't always just about price. It's also about what you get for your price. And these upgrades will give more spacious suites in a better location. Sometimes even they'll get extra services or extra pre and post offers like an overnight hotel before the cruise. So it's good to shop around, have a look. And these offers will run till the end of February.
Now, like any other vacation, there are different price points for different budgets, different levels of service, and so on. Regent Seven Seas is known specifically as a luxury cruise line. So what makes your brand of ultra-luxury cruising different, and what's included?
Well, it's definitely an elevated experience when you get to ultra-luxury. I think it's, can be defined by a couple of things. One is the ships are smaller and carry less people, and that also means that they can get into smaller ports of call around the world. In fact, what we try to do is avoid going to the places where the big ships go. But I think the second thing is perhaps more important is the value for money proposition, because when you pay your fare for an ultra-luxury cruise, it generally includes everything. You could almost put your wallet in the safe and go out for the week without it, because it includes entertainment, food, drinks, cocktails, wine. It includes things like Wi-Fi, gratuities. And at Regent Seven Seas, we also offer unlimited included shore excursions. And this can often be a very, expensive addition to a cruise.
Yeah.
You buy your cruise, but then you have to go ashore and do things. We include it, and it's an unlimited choice. So that brings, great value to the proposition of an ultra-luxury cruise.
Yeah. So what are the top cruising trends for the coming year? What types of itineraries, destinations, and such are the most popular? Let's give people some ideas here.
Well, we're seeing a few trends. We've been trialing cruises where instead of traveling for 10 days and going to 8 ports, so you're in and out of a port every day, We're moving it into a slower kind of travel where you go to 4 ports, but each of those ports you stay 2 days. So, for example, in the Mediterranean, you could go to Monte Carlo and stay 2 days and overnight in your floating hotel. You could go to Rome and do the same thing, Athens to do the same thing, Istanbul. So it's a slower form of travel where people are getting time in the port to do more things. That's one trend. A couple of other trends, popular destinations are colder cruises. So cruises to Iceland and Greenland, for example. So going in comfort and style, unpacking once, and seeing these countries from the water where it's often difficult to travel on land. The other big trending destination is Japan. We have a season of cruises in Japan in the fall and spring. And these sell out very early, so you have to book early for those. But that's a really immersive look at Japan around the coast, getting into the culture and the cuisine there. Really unique experience and a great way to travel to that part of the world.
Again,
so there's a lot of choices, but those are particular things that are trending.
Yeah. Again, a tremendous rebound for the cruise industry in the years since COVID-19. And as we said, right now is a great time to be looking at booking your cruise during this wave season. Again, Steve Odell is a travel industry expert with Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Where do we get more information?
So the best source of information is a website to start looking and planning. The website address is rssc.com. Or, of course, you could consult with your travel professional. We have travel advisors aligned to us all around the country. They are experts in selling Regent Seven Seas. They're trained by us. They have the promotions in hand. And they're a good stop to get the proper advice. But I would say go first of all to rssc.com, because that's got everything I've spoken about and more.
Doing a little dreaming, making your plans. Steve, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
I tell you what, the booze, it'll get you. You got to be careful. A man is charged with driving while intoxicated after he is found sleeping in a tractor on the New York State Thruway. No, tractor is not something you see on New York highways quite often. I mean, Northwest Ohio, yeah, maybe, but in New York, not so much. State police say they responded to reports of a tractor with a plow blocking the exit ramp on Interstate 287 on Saturday night. Responding troopers found 47-year-old Kleber Giovanni Liguisaca asleep behind the wheel with a blood alcohol content of 0.22. It's almost three times the legal limit. Sleeping in a tractor with a plow on the exit ramp of Interstate 287. He is facing a slew of charges, including DWI, driving without a license, and operating an unregistered tractor. Which I'm sure that's a charge you don't often see filed in New York so much. You know, it's operating an unregistered tractor. They probably had to look that up. Is that actually against the law? Do we have to can we charge him with that? I would love to hear the 911 call for that.
Yeah, there was a tractor blocking the interstate exit ramp.
The operator on the other. I'm sorry, there's a what, where? Must have been quite the call. Elsewhere in the broken news, a wanted man now being held on even more charges, a $1.2 million bond, after police say he set fire to a hospital bed in order to escape. This is the story. 34-year-old Amos Fleming was arrested earlier this week in connection with a shooting at a gas station in Memphis back in May. So he faces very serious charges with respect to that incident. He apparently, when they took him into custody, there was a scuffle and he was injured, so they took him to the hospital to get checked out. He was handcuffed to the bed while waiting to be cleared by medical staff, and while everyone's back was turned, he used a lighter to melt the plastic handrail on the hospital bed in order to get away. It was a brilliant plan that might have worked, except that the one thing he didn't count on is that the door to the room was locked, preventing him from leaving. It was a brilliant plan until he got to the door and realized it was locked. And he couldn't get out. Oh, well. Not the brightest criminal there. Speaking of genius criminals, two Colorado men are now in jail after using a cannon to attempt to launch drugs and cigarettes into a prison in Louisiana. They are using a cannon to launch the contraband over the fence into the prison. Grant Parish police in Louisiana claim Jose Francisco Herrera Munoz and Angel Gonzalez Gutierrez were attempting to use an air cannon to shoot more than $112,000 worth of tobacco and nearly $90,000 worth of meth over a fence and into a federal prison. Deputies say the cannon could fire items 350 feet into the air. Not surprisingly, they got caught. Because if you're using an air cannon that can fire these these things 350 feet in the air, it's going to make some noise. And that's going to draw attention to the guards. Both of these individuals, these geniuses, are facing charges of attempting to introduce contraband into a penal institution. And I'm sure that there are lots of other charges that they're going to come up with as well. File that under the category of sounded like a good idea at the time. Let's see here. This is kind of interesting. This is how you know you're having a bad day. This is how you know you're having a bad day. User of a Google Pixel, you know, the Google Pixel phone. And I don't know the name of this man, but this is the story. Apparently, he accidentally triggered an emergency feature on his phone while falling asleep and ended up sending nude photos of himself to all of his friends as a result. The emergency SOS feature automatically, the feature was activated when the power button is pressed 5 times or more. I didn't know that the Google Pixel phone had this feature, but if you hit the power button 5 times in quick succession, it will call emergency services, and it will also send a recent video clip to your emergency contacts list. If you set up an emergency contact list, it'll send a video clip to all of those so they can see what's going on. And because the man was asleep, and he sleeps in the raw, the emergency SOS feature not only dialed 911, but also sent a video of his private parts. Because he was naked in bed, sent a video of his private parts to all of his friends. So if you're worried about this happening to you, fortunately, the video emergency feature can be toggled off. It is possible. So you might want to do that. But that's how you know you're having a bad day, when you accidentally summon 911 and send naked videos to all your friends. That's not the way to start your day. Everything is fine now. They got it all sorted out, but rather embarrassing. And lastly here, in the broken news this morning, with cases of bird flu spiking across the United States, the subsequent egg shortage have left many Americans scrambling. No pun intended. The solution, for some, has been going straight to the source by acquiring a chicken. You get your own chicken and lay your own eggs, so you don't have to worry about the price of eggs. But raising chickens is not cheap, so maybe, and it's not easy, so maybe you should try before you buy. Enter a service called Rent the Chicken. That's right, you can actually rent a chicken. It is a service that was actually founded all the way back in 2013 to provide people a chance to try out having backyard hens for fresh eggs without the long-term commitment. Co-founder Jen Tompkins says the company's phones are ringing off the hook these days. Prices start at around $500 for a 5 to 6 month rental period, which includes 2 hens, a coop, food, and instruction manual. Rent a chicken. It is a business opportunity here. Instead of your own chicken rental organization there. That's, somebody has done it. I don't know, though. $500 for a 5 to 6 month rental period. How many eggs do you have to eat in order to get your money back? Get your money's worth on that. I don't know. I'll do the math here. There you go. That is today's broken news report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Did you know more than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio for their news, traffic, weather, sports, and a community connection? AM radio is the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping Americans safe in dangerous times. This is News Director Matt Demchak. AM 1330 WFIN is here to serve you, and we take seriously our commitment to our listeners. We would love to hear what you value most about AM radio. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com and tell us how you depend on AM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. Have politics changed your shopping habits? 24% of American shoppers say that they have stopped visiting their favorite stores due to politics, a position that either the company or the company's leadership has taken on various political topics, hot-button topics. This is according to a recent Harris poll that was shared with The Guardian. 31% of Americans report having no interest in supporting the economy this year. I don't know how you can possibly go an entire year not supporting the economy, but that's what they said. 31% of Americans have no interest in supporting the economy. That is a sentiment especially felt by younger Americans, 37% of Gen Zers. Also, black Americans feel that way more than do white Americans, 41% versus 28%. And Democrats, 35% versus 29% of independents, 28% of Republicans. More Democrats indicated that they were changing their spending habits compared with Republicans, 50% to 41%, and 40% for independents, changing their spending habits. Democrats also more likely to say they have stopped shopping at companies that have opposing political viewpoints to their own. 45% of Democrats indicated that was the case. 34% of Republicans said the same. But and this is not necessarily a new trend. We have seen it, especially in recent years, pick up steam. But this can leave companies kind of stuck in the middle. For example, Target, which has been targeted by conservatives in the past, unhappy with policies on the holiday season versus the Christmas season and the company's support of Pride Month. Well, Target is now feeling backlash from the left after ending some of its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. Buyers aren't boycotting, necessarily, according to John Gersima of Harris Poll. Buyers aren't boycotting, they're just opting out. Instead of demanding more, they're simply disengaging with the marketplace. But that attitude will soon face its toughest test, as Walmart has said that it will phase out its DEI initiatives, including ones focused on diversity of suppliers and offering DEI training. And Amazon has said that it is winding down outdated programs and materials related to DEI, which raises the question, can people really just opt out of the world's two largest retailers? Happening around town, it is that time again. The Christian Clearinghouse Garage Sale Fundraiser is coming up soon. Tammy Stahl is here from CCH, and I tell you, I'm really excited about this because, you know, there are certain community events when they come around every year that tell me that spring is right around the corner. I mean, it can be 10 degrees, there can be snow and ice everywhere, but as long as we're talking about the CCH Garage Sale Fundraiser, I know there's hope.
Thanks, Chris. Absolutely. And that's what I always say. It's spring in Findlay, Ohio, when our garage sale comes around.
I was going to say,
typically we get some pretty nice weather. So we're hoping.
I was going to say, I suspect that I am not alone in that sentiment. That
yes.
That's one of the
reasons. Well, and you know, we've had that sale later in the year, and it just sometimes it gets too hot in there, you know, in that greenhouse. The greenhouse has double effect. It stays pretty warm in there if the sun shines.
So the garage sale itself is coming up next month, but right now folks can donate. You've got the call out for donations.
Yeah, so we're accepting donations out at Brinkman's Greenhouse, which is there on Sandusky Street, 1800 East Sandusky. Mm-hmm. And so just bring your items out. We have wonderful volunteers out there that are helping unpack cars. So on a cold day, it's a really good day to get those boxes all filled up and bring them on out to us. One thing is we do not accept adult clothing. So, but other than that, we're pretty much taking items Monday mm-hmm. through Friday from 9 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Okay. And that's through March 8th, we're taking donations.
You know, in hearing you talk about that, obviously this is more than just a weekend undertaking for the garage sale. I mean, this is a huge mobilization of volunteers to actually make this happen over the course of, you know, almost a month.
Absolutely. Some dedicated people. And then, you know, you have cleanup after that. So it can be more than a month to get things out.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, we're already getting some really nice things. I'm looking at your office and think, there's a lot of memorabilia out here at this garage sale. You really need to come out, Chris.
All right. All right. Yeah, we definitely have leaned into the history here in the studio since the remodel. Yeah. So the drop-off or the collection is going on now. If you can't drop stuff off, though, if you've got something larger that you don't have the ability to drop off.
Yeah, give us a call at the office at 419-422-2222, and we'll see what we can do. We do already have a lot of furniture, so we're getting limited on space. So if you really have something you want to get rid of, I would call sooner than later. And plus, it's a group of volunteers that come out and pick those items up, so we want to get things, you know, out of their, you know, off their agenda as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
As long as things are nice and in good repair, we'll probably take them. But we don't want to take something that just needs to go to the dump. So, because that just costs us money to get rid of it.
Right. So with respect to that, as you mentioned, you don't take adult clothing. You've got a lot of furniture right now, so maybe not looking for, you know, real big pieces necessarily with respect to that. But what else?
Oh, everything. Pots and pans and knickknacks and pictures and sporting goods and shovels and rakes and pots and plants and Christmas items. That's a big part of what we do. We've got craft items. We've got household items, toys, shoes, just all kind of different things that we will take. So electronics, that's another big area that we have a lot of stuff coming in. So just give us a call or bring it on out. And again, we will help you get those items unloaded in the car.
And then for the actual event itself, that is coming up, like we said, next month, it is the 15th and 16th, right?
The 15th and 16th. We'll be out there 8:30 to 4 on the 15th and then 1 to 4 on the 16th. And that's our bag day. So that's our big sale day. But if you want to get in and not deal with the big crowds of people, there's something called the Velvet Chandelier event. That's a preview event on Thursday evening, the 13th, from 6 to 8 p.m. It's real laid back. We only sell 100 tickets at $50 a shot.
Okay.
So you can get those tickets at the greenhouse or at our office, or if you just go to our website at cchsupport.org, go to the Donate Now button, and you'll be able to click in there and order yourself a ticket.
Technically, those are available up until the day before.
As long as we don't sell out. We sold out last year.
Yeah, like you said, I was going to mention and highlight, it is a limited number, so again, sooner rather than later.
Yes. Yeah. So if you are interested in a ticket, and again, it just gives you the opportunity to come in and shop in a laid-back environment.
Yeah.
But I have to say, it's hitting my head. Last year, we had those tornadoes come through, so it wasn't laid back.
Hopefully none of that.
We had to evacuate, yeah.
It really is a treasure hunt, and you call it, in fact, a treasure hunt for a cause, and it's an awful lot of fun.
Absolutely. We just see all kind of stuff come in and lots of memories. You know, you get to be my age and you think, oh, I remember playing with this stuff. Or I remember my grandmother having this.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's really cool and different stuff every single year. So It's really fun.
How much, and I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but how much money is typically raised?
Between $50,000 and $60,000.
Wow. Normally.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's a lot of stickers on things. It's a lot, you know, the community comes together for this and brings stuff to us and they come back out and shop. It's just amazing.
And where does that funding go? I mean, what, like we say, it's all for a cause, for a good cause. What is that cause? How do you
Christian Clearinghouse is a nonprofit here in Hancock County where we help folks with financial needs. Mm-hmm. So perhaps they need food to feed their family. They're being evicted from their home, so they need help to pay their rent. We can help with utilities. And we can help with things that government agencies can't help with. So like work boots so people can get to work. Mm. Or we have programs so people can get birth certificates because you can't use government programs unless you have identification. Cost money. So there's just a lot of things that we help with, you know, prescription medication or trying to get people a piece of medical equipment. We look at all the needs and we're a very busy agency. We run about 600 requests a month. So wow. We are on our toes the whole time.
It's amazing. We've often said that CCH really catches those things that fall between the cracks. What you find out, and you're talking about how many requests you have a month, there's an awful lot of stuff that can fall through the cracks.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, we also try to be really good stewards of our dollars. If there's government programs or other programs open, we do lots of referrals, getting people to the places that they need so they can get that long-term assistance that they truly need.
Yeah. You actually have an event coming up this weekend. Again, we're talking about the garage sale, but you have some of that coming up this weekend with prom being right around the corner,
too. We have a prom dress giveaway on Saturday from 11 to 2 at the Family Center, which is 1800 North Blanchard. So if you have a high school girl that's in need of a prom dress, they can come out. We have about 200 prom dresses that people can go through. And we are still taking donations for prom dresses. So those could be dropped off at the office. Or if you can't make it over to the office, just drop it at the greenhouse and I can take it to the office.
Okay, there you go.
So that's all fine. We can get those over to the girls that are in need. And we just want these young girls to have the opportunity. Everything's so expensive.
Yes, it is. And everybody deserves to go to prom.
Everybody deserves to go to prom.
Every teenager deserves that memory.
Yeah, and we had so many moms last year that just said, my daughter wouldn't have been able to go without you. So that was just awesome.
We have a link up for more information about the garage sale, the treasure hunt for a cause. There's also more information on the prom dress giveaway and everything that Christian Clearinghouse does. At their website, we've got it linked up at goodmornings.net. And again, Tammy Stahl, Christian Clearinghouse with us this morning. Tammy, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, State Representative Ty Matthews will discuss his committee assignments in the Ohio House and share his thoughts on the governor's budget proposal that is now up for debate in the legislature. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.